You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. 2020 looks to be a pretty good year for stargazing. There's already been some noteworthy activity, including a lunar eclipse, a satellite train, and three supermoons. In fact, there's a fourth supermoon this week and a meteor shower as well. But wait, there's more. If you want to get a good look at Jupiter and Saturn, you're in luck. Plus, there's something called a great solstice appulse that hasn't happened in 20 years and won't happen again for another 20. Lots of other cool stuff to talk about as well. Bob Bonadurer is the director of the Daniel M. Sorf Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
Well, before we dig into the space stuff, the museum, including the planetarium, they're closed now because of COVID-19. What kind of things are online that might help people who might otherwise be visiting?
It's Wednesday. We put out a MPM Connection newsletter with all kinds of activities and education on there. And the planetarium here is doing some cool videos. We did one on the asteroid that just missed us last week. And we hope to have some live Wisconsin stargazing things online virtually. So stay tuned.
Now, before we get to what's on the calendar, let's talk about stargazing in general. Seems like this is a fine time to start something, activity you can do maybe in your own backyard or parking lot or whatever. Why should we make an effort to look up at the night sky?
Sky is half our horizon. It's all around us. And it's just beautiful to look at. Of course, when we get a clear sky, some of the clouds can be cool too, but the planets, the stars, the moon, they're all very, very cool. And so it's all around us. And just get out there and best you can for some of the sights, get away from the streetlights. It's a great family activity, a great friend activity. But of course, keep safe, keep our social distance, and gaze at the most distant things of all, the universe.
Now, I think it's a bummer sometimes to live in a, you know, a city where you got the lights and you can't see as much of the sky. I actually saw an idea that, hey, for people who are pretty ignorant about what's up there, like me, that can actually be a good starting point. It edits out a lot of the stars. What are some things we can observe in the night sky when we don't see the whole picture in, a city area?
Well, the best thing right now is just to gaze west after sunset and see Venus. I mean, it's been glorious for the last 3-4 months. It's going to be there for only another about 3-4 weeks. So catch Venus. It's the number one thing in the sky besides the night sky, besides the moon. In fact, it's the number one reported UFO. but just look west, and it's just brilliant. Of course, Jupiter is and Saturn and Mars are all very bright in the morning sky. And, of course, tonight we got the supermoon. So check that out if it's clear.
Yeah, let's talk about that supermoon. What makes a moon a supermoon?
It's just a little bit closer. It's the moon's orbit is not a perfect circle. It's an ellipse, kind of oval-shaped. And so it brings it about 7% closer during a supermoon. It's not all that noticeable. Every full moon is spectacular, just it's beautiful in the sky. But tonight it's going to be a little closer, just a tiny bit bigger.
And people love to see this when they can on the horizon. And the moon looks gigantic sometimes. It's a supermoon and it's on the horizon.
Right.
It's kind of a trick, though, right? That's just our perspective making it look super huge.
Yeah, that's the true supermoon. And it's not real. It's an optical illusion. But we just perceive it. It's an eye-brain thing going on in our head, but it just makes it cool. And of course, the color of the moon on the horizon is spectacular. It gets that orange, pale yellow color, and that's a pretty sight.
Now, there's a meteor shower going on, but I understand because of the supermoon, our chances of spotting some shooting stars might not be so great.
Exactly. Most shooting stars, falling stars, or meteors, they're very faint, most of them, and if the moon's around, it acts like a big city light, and we can't see them. So, unfortunately, for this meteor shower, the Eta Quirids, I would not recommend going out to try to see it.
Talking to Bob Bonadurer, director of the Daniel M. Sorf Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. We're taking a look at Wisconsin's night sky. By the way, if you're a stargazer yourself, experienced or like me, you could join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us what you're looking at or ask questions of Bob to find out what you're looking at. 800-642-1234. Well, if we want to see some good meteor showers over the next, 5-6 months, Bob, what are our best opportunities going to be?
Oh, my favorite, the best one is the Perseids in August. And because the weather's nice and just get away. And this year, the moon will be out of the way, which will be great. That's a perfect time to plan for a trip away from streetlights and just lie in a lawn chair or blanket and look up. But best time to do that is between midnight and dawn. So it pays to get up early to watch that.
And I understand this summer we've got a special feature planned, Giant Planet Week, featuring Jupiter and Saturn. What's going on?
Well, these two planets line up every 20 years or so, but this one is extra, extra special because they are going to be closer together than they have been in almost 400 years. In fact, they are going to appear as one, quote, star in the sky. And they're going to get closer all summer, and the date on for them being the closest is December 21st.
And is this the thing called a pulse, if I'm saying that right? I have not witnessed this word before this conversation.
Yeah, that's it's a word for conjunction, just meaning lining up together in the sky. So, I mean, obviously they're not really close together. They're hundreds of millions of miles apart, but they're lining up, and it's just going to be a neat event.
Well, that's a 20-year event. I want to ask you, Bob, about something we're going to talk about on the show tomorrow, actually, the 30-year anniversary this year for the Hubble Space Telescope. We're going to talk about that tomorrow at 4. But, Bob, what comes to your mind when you think of what we've learned from Hubble?
With Hubble, I think of paradigm shift. I mean, it was the first space telescope to get above our murky atmosphere. And you can compare it to Galileo, right? Our whole universe, our view of the universe changed when Galileo took his telescope and turned it toward the heavens. And when we did this with Hubble in 1990, it just revolutionized our thinking. Many just amazing discoveries, and it's been going great for 30 years, and it's very appropriate to celebrate that.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Brian is with us in Dorchester. Brian, hello.
Hi. About several weeks ago, I saw a string of satellites all tracking same direction, kind of evenly spaced.
Yep.
For a few nights there, I seen it. You know what that was about?
Yeah, these are the Starlink satellites being put up by, you may have heard of Elon Musk. He's a famous entrepreneur. And they're communication satellites. They're going to speed up internet so we can talk to each other all around the world. That's why they're put up there. And they're very small, actually, but there are a lot of them. And they are eventually going to circle the globe, and we'll be able to communicate much better.
I understand. Thanks for that call. I understand, Bob, there is some controversy here among people who like to watch the skies about these things popping up and eventually circling the globe.
Sure. Yeah, it definitely is, because they you know, people who like to take photography of the night sky. But this has been going on for a long time. So it's kind of a pros and cons ever since, of course, Sputnik way back in 57. But we need to have things up in space to help, you know, to study our Earth. That's important. The Earth satellites and communication satellites, they're important. So it's a give and take. And I know Mr. Musk has darkened some of the newer satellites that are going up, so they won't be as reflective. But yeah, it is something that we have to plan carefully.
We're talking to Bob Bonador, looking at some upcoming events in the night sky. Bob's the director of the Daniel M. Soroff Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. Have you seen anything cool while looking up at space lately? Is there anything in the weeks and months ahead that you're particularly excited to see? Any meteor showers, planets, or constellations? Do you have questions about what's going on in space or how you can see the action? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about some of the cool stuff going on in the night sky in 2020 with Bob Bonador, director of the Daniel M. Soroff Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like to get out and star watch, just looking in from your backyard, or do you get serious about it with some kind of telescope? What are you seeing? What are you into? What are you looking for this year? Do you have questions for Bob about what's going on up there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hello.
Hi, good afternoon. I was just wondering if Bob had any information about anything that might be going on with the Yerkes Observatory down in Long Bay. If anybody is going to be able to take that over and reopen it. It's pretty, you know, historic place.
Oh, very good. The news is good from Yerkes. It is going to reopen. They don't know quite how. They got the University of Chicago, which closed it, you know, ran it great for so many years, over 100 years. But it is going to, it's been sold to a foundation, and they are excited to reopen, but they don't know when or the exact plans or anything like that yet. But the news is good from Yerkes.
Tom, thanks a lot for the question at 800-642-1234. Bob, I understand this is a big year for eclipses, but we probably aren't going to get in on a lot of the action here in Wisconsin.
No. And the penumbral eclipses of the moon, that's when the moon goes through the Earth's shadow, but the lighter part of the shadow where there's a slight dimming. We'll see a couple of those, in fact, on the night of July 4th. And again in December, but no major eclipses this year, no solar eclipses. You'll have to travel if anyone wants to go to Chile or Argentina in December. It'll be worth it. We took a group from the museum down to Chile last July, and we just had a phenomenal time. It was just beautiful.
Now, another story going on, this is something we won't be able to see, but we can look forward maybe to images of this in the future, the launch of another NASA Mars rover. So yes. What's this one going to be looking for?
This one is the Mars 2020 rover or Perseverance, and it's got a helicopter on it too, or a drone, if you will, which is kind of cool. It's going to launch in mid-July and get there in February, and it's the next step, right, to investigate a little closer, and eventually we'll have a sample return mission where we'll send a spacecraft and bring back rocks from Mars, and then who knows, one day maybe people on Mars.
You know, I happened to mention earlier lunar meteorites here on Earth, so you get dislodged from the moon, we end up with them on Earth. Do we ever get ones from as far away as Mars?
Yes. And I used to have one time, or I mean,
wow,
on loan from the University of Minnesota. But, oh, yeah, it was so cool to hold this little rock from Mars in my hand, and I took it to a couple things we were doing. It just thrilled me to no end that, yeah, that we have Martian meteorites on planet Earth, and they're in different, you know, universities and museums, but it's just a cool thing, yeah.
That is cool. Back to our callers now. Dan is on the line in northern Wisconsin. Dan, hello.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I was just curious, is there any, you know, we live up here in northern Wisconsin. We've got great night skies. And I was just wondering, is there any better way or a new way of predicting that we're going to be seeing the aurora borealis or the northern lights?
Oh, the northern lights. I would love to see those sometime, Bob. And it seems like it is hard to predict, right?
Very hard to predict. Well, somewhat. I mean, they happen after a big storm on the sun, big solar flare or coronal mass ejection, they're called. And these particles, these charged particles, you don't see them, but they'll hit the Earth in a day or two. So there are predictions. There's a website called spaceweather.com. You can go on and find out. But that doesn't guarantee anything. It just tells you the chances go up that there might be a aurora borealis or the northern lights. But again, with the meteor shower, if there is a chance to see the aurora, you got to get away from streetlights. And the further north you go, the better, simply because these particles from the sun, they get in at the magnetic poles, which, of course, are near the geographic poles, so you have to get north.
I've never seen them. I imagine you've found your way clear to see the northern lights, Bob.
Yes, and I'm looking all the time, but I've probably only seen them about, you know, 8-10 times my whole life. And it's they're a rare event, but they are breathtaking. I mean, they're just wondrous. And someday soon the museum would like to do an aurora trip, to some place like Alaska or Norway, where chances are very high. Because if you live in Alaska, they happen like every other clear night. It's a common sight up there.
Now let's talk in our last couple of minutes about the seasonal constellations we can look for. The list of constellations I can recognize is the Big Dipper, and that's about it. What else can I see over the course of the summer, Bob, that even I might be able to pick out?
Well, we just lost Orion the Hunter. He's one of the most familiar constellations. He's easy to see, lots of bright stars. But his nemesis is coming, and that's the Scorpion, Scorpius. And you'll start to see that low in the southern sky. You can see it in the morning sky now, but you'll see it in the evening sky after sunset in about another month or so. But Scorpius is a fun one to see in the night sky. And if you look high overhead, it's not necessarily a constellation, but the summer triangle. Three bright stars, Vega, Deneb, and Altair. And you can see those three straight above you, even in the city.
And getting back to where we started, you mentioned Venus is in view these days. And we can spot Venus even with a bright supermoon going on?
Oh, Venus. You can see Venus during the daytime if you know where to look. It's not easy, but at night, it's the brightest thing. It's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
Anything, as we wrap up, Bob, anything on the longer-term horizon you're looking forward to?
Well, the planets, the outer planets of Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn are visible in the morning sky, and they're going to move into the evening sky. As we talked about, Jupiter and Saturn and Mars will, in October, be very bright in the sky. We'll have a blue moon on Halloween night. That's kind of cool. But kind of long-term, looking for the next big total solar eclipse crossing America on April 8th, 2024. That is going to be a splendid sight.
We'll put that on our calendars. Bob, thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Bob Bonadurer, director of the Daniel M. Soroff Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. We talked to him today about some of the highlights taking place in the night sky over the weeks and months ahead. You can check out the museum's sky and space calendar for 2020, by the way. We've got a link up at wpr.org/centraltime.